It's time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you just had a glorious weekend. I can't remember when we'd have such lovely weather. It was just beautiful every day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We had cookouts. We had people over for garden tours. Our azalea and rhododendron gardens are in full bloom. It is just gorgeous. So I hope everybody got to take advantage of that and spend time with family and friends and be outside. It was wonderful. So this morning, in honor of May, we're doing a very whimsical show. And it's something that I really wanted to do earlier in the month. Because the May Day themes, you know, and the fairy themes going with this early spring actually go back to ancient times in almost every culture, especially for the Celts in the British Isles, who had a festival on the 1st of May called Beltane. It was a time of great rejoicing at the return of Earth's abundance in spring and the impending bounty of summer. So knowing that spring is here, summer is right on its heels. And the Celts celebrated the nature spirits by honoring not only the plants they could see and smell, but also all the unseen beings of the fairy realm. So this morning, I am so pleased to welcome back with us my good friend, Janet Henson-Rosiak. And as you know, Janet is a gifted healer, a spiritual medium, an angelic channel, and an inspirational teacher and mentor. She is a certified Theta healing instructor, a Reiki master teacher, Matrix energetics, and angel therapy practitioner. And with over 25 years of experience, Janet combines many different ancient and modern techniques, quantum physics and spirituality, as well as her own intuitive gifts as she helps guide individuals along their paths. She has clients and students from all walks of life, spanning the globe, from New Jersey all the way to Japan. So we are so happy to have her join us once again. So good morning, Janet.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Another glorious,
happy
sunny
May.
Yeah. It's just wonderful, and I'm so happy to be doing this. You know, I wanted to do this show with the fairies earlier because there is this huge and wonderful fairy festival in our area called the May Day Fairy Festival.
And it's wonderful.
Held at Sproutwood Farm right here in the Glen Rock area, the first weekend of May. And I'll talk a little bit about that. We missed it this year, but hopefully next year we can get there. I mean, and they have thousands, I mean like 16,000 people, you know, come to that farm every year. So it is very popular. And they do such fun things there, celebrating the fairy world. And, you know, fairies, I mean, we talked about it a second ago, how they've been part of every culture. And think about the famous fairies in literature. I mean, my goodness, mm-hmm. we have Tinkerbell, the fairy godmothers in Cinderella. I mean, who doesn't mm-hmm. know about them? I mean, I just love that they're part of everything.
Yes, they really are. I mean, in Iceland, they actually will change how their roads were laid out to be created whenever they sense. They actually have people who sense where the fairies and elves are, and they will change their planning of where a road is supposed to go around it. How wonderful
that.
Is that?
So they're doing mm-hmm. it in Iceland to this day. I mean, that is how Sirius, you know, they take that other realm that, you know, we don't mm-hmm. often see. Some people do. I know you can see too, but, you know, it's like how nice that they have that much respect for other beings.
Yes, absolutely. And the fairies, if you don't respect them and nature and animals and children, they can be quite mischievous. And so it's a good thing that they do that, I think, in Iceland, because I think it's something like 82% of the population actually really, truly believe that they are absolutely real, which they are, which they are. They're not just stories, not just fairy tales.
Yeah.
They are real beings.
Well,
absolutely.
I think that's wonderful because they grow up with that culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that understanding that they are there.
Right. And for whatever reason, they continue to believe it. I think because it's so widespread, maybe, and so they have experiences, you know, because even in our country, children are very, very open to connecting with the fairies, to talking to them, to seeing them, to playing with them. And then, sadly, in the past, you know, just like with angels, a lot of times, society and grown-ups, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. kind of squash that out of them. But I think that's changing. That's changing, too. I will tell you, I have an awful lot of adults who come for fairy readings or fairy workshops that I have. So I love that. And the fairies absolutely love that, too. I'm out here in our gardens where I was working yesterday all day because they said to come out here. They wanted to really, really be part of this. So the fairy realm is very excited in New Jersey right now.
Oh, I know. I do love that. But, you know, with all things, Janet, I think with all things spiritual and also with the fairy realm, I mean, people are becoming more open to that because yeah. it's more well known. There's more things coming out. There's less ridicule. There's less making mm-hmm. fun of. There's less, you know, it's like people are starting to accept and they're opening yes. to all kinds of different things.
That's absolutely true. And I mean, the world will be a better and better and better place for that because these nature spirits, the fairies, they really are, their whole purpose is to take care of nature, to take care of this planet, you know, to guard and heal all of our plants and flowers and the animals as well. They have incredible connections to flowers, but also to animals. People, I think, are used to thinking of them around, you know, little petunias or roses. But it's much, much more than that. It's much more than that. It's their message for us is that we are all supposed to be guardians of this planet and to know that every single thing, everywhere, everything is a living being, and to honor and respect and love that. So
yeah, I
am joyful about, you know, seeing this interest get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit that, you know, I always think of them as guardians and involved with the different flowers. But I mm-hmm. wasn't that attuned until recently about how they help the animals.
Oh, yeah, they're very, very connected to the animals. And with all of that, I mean, you can ask for the fairies' help with anything. So if you have a garden that's in need of help, or a plant that's sickly, or an animal, and it's either, it doesn't matter if they're wildlife, so to speak, or domesticated animals, you know, that many humans call pets, other of us call children, furry kids, right? But yeah, and so if there are any problems with them, they can help people to heal them, to work with them, healing them, to just communicate with them. Well, you know, you are a gifted animal communicator. So
yes.
You know, when people have problems with behaviors, they can help them with that as well. And sometimes they're the cause of it. I have to say, as I mentioned that how mischievous they can be, one of my kitties was going crazy one year in the spring. And so I knew it had to do with the fairies because here's another thing. I think that most people think of fairies as outside. Fairies can also be inside.
Oh, that's a good point, Janet, because I always think of them as outside.
Absolutely. Yeah. They absolutely are inside, too. And so you can find them anywhere that there, I would say that there are plants, that there are animals, but also that there are open hearts who believe in magic. If you believe in the fairies, you mentioned earlier, Jackie, about how some people see them.
Right.
The reason that they are elusive, let's say, is because there's not a lot of trust in humans in general, in the big picture. Big humans, tall humans, grown-up mm-hmm. humans. They show themselves easily to children. And so it's about whether you believe. And if you truly believe, then they will show themselves in one way or another. I mean, visually, it's a little bit more difficult, I think, for a lot of people because they're a different frequency. They are a higher vibration than we are. But to hear them, to listen to them, to speak to them, to feel their presence, absolutely. I mean, and a really big start to that is just to start to talk to them and be out in nature. Definitely being outside, though, as the place to start to connect with them is the thing to do. By water, by trees, by flowers, by any kind of plants, and just talk to them, telling them that you want to connect, you want to know more about them, you want to have them as a part of your life, and they will respond. They definitely will.
And this is the perfect time now that we're all coming back out,
yes,
out of this terribly harsh winter that we've had. I mean, it's just, you can just feel people are so joyful to be outside. And, you know, and I think, too, it's so fleeting, don't you think, Janet, when you start to see fairies? Like, you just, like something out of the corner of your eye, you'll see something,
yes,
move.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can definitely feel like it, just what you said, that there's a motion, that something just flitted past you. What was it? Was that a bug? Maybe it was a fairy. Sometimes little glittering lights. If you see a light, it's a little bit like, I guess, a UFO. This just that popped into my head. And I have to tell you, part of why I'm outside here is because they wanted to be part of this. So you're getting information from me, but also from the fairies who surround my home. But I actually once out here in this space that I'm sitting now saw this tiny little gold sparkling light. And that's interesting because, you know, we don't typically see gold. It looks metallic. And the thing of it wasn't moving in any kind of way that would be, you know, a little piece of a dandelion or something like that, even if you could think the sun was glinting on it, making it that color.
Right.
It was quite clearly something different. Yeah. And when Mike and I were in Ireland, which if you are a lover of fairies, I highly recommend going to Ireland. It is just such a magical, magical, mystical place. I actually saw, I don't know if I even have ever told you this, but Mike and I saw a real fairy in the air with little legs.
Oh, my gosh.
It was incredible. I will never, ever forget that because I've wanted to see them in that way forever and haven't, and that's okay with me because it's quite clear that they're here. They're talking to me all the time, telling me what to do. But yes, we did. Mike actually saw it first, and it was fairly still fleeting. It was not, but it was in our vision long enough, absolutely, to see clearly that it was a fairy with a human form. So incredible, incredible. That changed my whole heart. I mean, it really did. I already believed in them completely, but that opened me up to a whole nother level of the magical realms. It really did.
And don't you love that?
Healing.
I love that your husband, Mike, sees it first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
Well, Jackie,
and,
I think you...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think you do know the story of he believed in fairies because I believed in fairies. But it was kind of more of a, if she says it, it's true, but it's really not my cup of tea. I'm not really... That's okay. Whatever she says is fine.
Right, right.
He didn't connect to them at all until one day he came in from weeding outside in the gardens, and without even thinking, he said something like, I weeded everything, but I left that back corner alone. It's not because I got lazy, but they told me to leave it alone, and I know that's what you tell me to do is listen. And I looked at him, and I had this big smile on my face, and he just went, oh, no, did I say that out loud? That was the beginning of him hearing the fairies and actually admitting it because he wanted to not get in trouble for not weeding a certain area. And it made perfect sense to me because it was an area where some neighborhood cats typically come through. And fairies, unless they know the cats, are not friends with cats because
really?
They can be dangerous for them.
Oh.
Yeah, cats tend to, outside, wild cats or just roaming cats even, they tend to, some of it is it's a playful kind of thing, but it can be very dangerous for the fairies. So, they and other animals, it's just about protecting their home, you
right,
know? And
right.
So in a particular area, we actually now have tons of thistle that grows. And I will tell you, if you and the listeners know anything about thistle, it makes beautiful flowers, and then it also has amazing thorns. And so to remove thistle is really difficult. And if you saw our one section, it just is covered with thistle. And we battled it at the beginning. And then it did occur to me when it wasn't working, nothing was working, that perhaps there was a reason. And so I asked, and that's how I learned about why that was happening. And so now we actually embrace it. You know, the flowers are beautiful, and other than that, it's a little green area, and we know the fairies are there, and
right,
you know,
it's protection.
We decorated a little bit for them as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, it's a protected area.
Absolutely. And it protects a corner that seemed to be a gateway for little wild critters.
Back there where they sort of pass through. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's very interesting. So,
yes. You
know, so they're helping us with that. So what else do they, well, Gil, do we have to take a break soon before I get started on a new topic?
Why don't we take a break?
All right. We'll take a quick one here, and then we'll be right back, everybody.
Okay. You're listening to Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back, everybody. And for those who may just be joining us, we're doing a very whimsical and fun show this morning. My good friend Janet Henson-Rosiak is joining us to share her vast knowledge of the fairy world just in time before the end of the month of May and the beginning of summer, the season for all things magical and fairy-oriented. And we've been having so much fun talking about some of the things Janet has done and seen. And Janet, tell us some more about what do fairies help us with?
Well, one of the things that I have to tell you, because they were just, when you said her vast knowledge of all things fairy, I heard all these little voices just laughing and poking at me and saying, oh, vast, ooh, vast knowledge. it was what I was going to mention first anyway, but a huge gift of the fairies is to bring back the joy and bring back the laughter and teach humans to lighten up and to play, to bring play back into their lives. So, that, I think, is along with guarding and healing and caring for the planet and the plants and the animals, that is a huge, huge purpose that they have in connecting with us. Absolutely. They are constantly giggling and laughing and just joyful. And it's about helping humans to remember how to live like that. And it changes everything. You know, it makes a good day incredible. And it makes a day that has some difficulties or tough spots to it, it makes it a little more bearable. And so that's a huge gift that they bring.
Yeah, I'm sure they're thinking, stop taking yourself so seriously.
Oh, exactly. It's so funny because I know you and I have talked a lot about the angels as well, and that is something they have in common, and yet they do it so differently. And the fairies are just, not that the angels aren't fun, I don't want to get anybody upset in those realms, but the fairies are just hilarious. They really do make you laugh. They help you to feel joyful. One thing they reminded me that I wanted to mention, for inside the house, this is something that grown-ups and children alike often love. I give them as gifts sometimes. You can go online because there are many different catalogs that carry them. But there are these little ceramic fairy doors that you can get. They're a couple of inches high, and you can put them inside your house, you know, along the baseboards. That it's fun. The fairies don't need those doorways to enter your home, but they love them. They think they're really, really pretty and cool and cute, and a lot of times it really does help just to bring that magic into the home.
Oh, I've never seen that.
So
wouldn't that be fun?
I wanted to mention that. Well, you just might get a present of one. Something's telling me that's going to happen.
I love that. Just coming right into our house. How cute is
yes.
that?
Yes. I'm surprised you didn't see them when you were here.
No, I didn't.
Well, you'll see one soon.
Okay.
And they're also amazing at helping you find lost things. Now, saying that, I have to also say that they're often the cause of you having lost things.
I was going to say, don't they sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes yes. missing things are...
Yes. One of the things that is a really important piece to know about fairies is, you know, I'm talking a lot about them helping and that they want to connect with us and communicate with us and be our friends. But they do have, they have some rules, and there is ego in the fairy realm, and so they do judge us. They judge whether or not we believe in them, and they judge how we do treat each other, but especially the planet, nature, animals, children. And so if you do go outside and ask, you know, or talking to them and asking them to connect, you may get kind of an assignment. You may even feel this, or as you're just walking along and you see a piece of trash along the road, you may feel an urge or like a little voice in your head saying, pick up that trash. If you do pick up the trash, then you're showing the fairies that you do care and you do honor and respect other living beings. And that's really important. If you don't, if you ignore that kind of thing, if you do not treat the planet and all the beings well, then the fairies will probably choose not so much to communicate with you. I know that's nobody that is listening to us right now, but that was important to tell you. And so also, if they are helping you, you can ask them for help, and they will do that if you believe and if you have a good open heart. And that does not mean perfect. They're telling me, remember, say that.
Yes, because none of us are perfect.
It does not mean perfect. It does not mean by any kind of judgment of what most humans would judge as good.
It's just in good intentions.
An open heart with a good intention and a loving spirit. And so, but they do like to be paid for their help. So
I love
when you
that.
Are doing, yes, they absolutely like to be paid for their help.
So how do we pay them?
You can pay them with all kinds of different things. You can actually just put these things out for them before anything that you want help with, and then they will just spontaneously help you. But they love sparkly things. That's number one. Absolutely love sparkly things. And by that, I literally mean sparkly things. It doesn't have to be any kind of... Well, here's a good example for you. I was walking past our patio doors once with a bunch of change for our change jar, and I heard, ooh, give me that, give me that. Ooh, is that for us? And I turned facing out toward the garden. I said, no, it's not for you, it's mine. And in that kind of a, you know, a way. And then they were just, oh, please, please. And I looked at my hand, and it was because I had in this handful of change like four or five shiny, shiny, bright new pennies. And that's what they were looking for. They have no need for or desire for or interest in money. They, this is another way that they can help us. They are absolute manifestors extraordinaire. Money means nothing to them. That's a human, that's a very human means of exchange. And they have no understanding of why we can't just create what it is that we want and need in any moment. They understand that completely. And that is anything from health, joy, love, money, to a new home, to a new job, all of that. So that is an area that they can so help us with. Creating, manifesting abundance. But now back to the sparkly. So, of course, I took the pennies out and put them out in the garden for them, in the fairy garden for them. They also love chocolate.
I've heard that, honey. Too.
Mm-hmm. They love honey. They love chocolate. They love milk. They love parties. They love joyful gatherings. They love music. So to just be out in your garden singing, and you don't have to have a good voice. Well, some of them are saying, well, it helps. but if you are singing from your heart, and you can be making up the song, playing instruments, just playing music. You know, they have the speakers that look like rocks that you can even put in the garden.
Oh, I've
wonderful.
Seen those.
The fairies love those. So those are some ways that you can dancing, you know, they love all of that to be part of that. And so I was thinking about putting out milk, honey, some things like that, liquids. And I stopped in a grocery store to pick something up, and I had just been thinking about, well, how would I do that? Where would I put it? And I came upon a shelf of things for a dollar, and there were all these tiny little Tupperware containers. Tiny, tiny, tiny. So there was my answer. There was some manifesting right there of the fairies. If she wants to give us honey, give her a good way to do it. And what I did, this is a fun thing, again, for tall and small. I got little sparkly sticker, the 3D kind of gems, you know, the little plastic gems, and decorated these little bowls and put them outside, and they were joyful. And I had all kinds of amazing, just surprising, wonderful things happen to me in the weeks right after that.
Oh, how cute is that? Now, wouldn't kids just love doing that, to get something and decorate it before they put it out there?
Yes.
And fruit, too. Don't they love, like, strawberries and... I had heard somebody say that, to put strawberries out.
Strawberries would work if they were very, very sweet. If they weren't, they wouldn't like them. So strawberries, yes, if they're very sweet. And you know how sometimes they are.
Yes.
They're very sweet. But I would taste your strawberry before you share it.
Oh, I love that.
And also, what's important when if you and the little ones are putting things out, like putting honey out, I always put it somewhere where it's not easily gotten by squirrels, birds, dogs, cats that may be roaming around, you know. And it's important to note too that sometimes it will disappear, sometimes it will not. Sometimes they just take the vibration from the item, the food, the drink. Other times it literally disappears. I've had these things put in places where no one else could get to them. They're really kind of enclosed outside, and yet they were gone and the dish was clean. So that's always fascinating and wonderful to me.
And I'm glad that you said that.
Don't feel sad. Yeah, if it's not gone, don't be sad. They will absolutely have taken the vibration from it. So they're getting the goodness of it that they want and need.
Because I was thinking, when we said chocolate, I mean, I'm sure very many people know that chocolate can be poisonous, particularly to dogs. So,
right. So for that reason, too, you'd want to put it.
So please be careful if you do anything like that. Don't put it where the animals can get it easily.
Absolutely.
Or don't use chocolate. There's so many other things that you could use. That,
right. The fairies are saying, so put it up high, put it far away. They don't like the idea, Jackie, of don't use chocolate.
Yeah, okay, all right.
They're saying there's another way. There's a safe way.
All right. Just make sure that you're looking at the safe way, everybody, because you would feel
absolutely bad. Absolutely. But you just made me think of something. If you do put something out, like a candy, a sweet treat, or a piece of chocolate that is wrapped, unwrap it. That seems to make a difference. I don't know why, but that is the case. It's what they tell me, and I definitely feel that difference. Because at first I put it out like that. I thought they would like the shiny purple wrapper. And instead I was clearly told, please unwrap it. So, important to know. And back to them stealing the jewelry, quote, unquote. They may do that because they have helped you with something and you promised to do something back, but you didn't. Or just because they are playful. So they love sparkly things. And so if you leave your jewelry out, they may very well take it for a while to play with it and enjoy it, and then they'll return it. So a lot of people, I'm sure, can relate to things disappearing and then reappearing in a place that they know they looked 100 times.
Yeah, what happened
and
to that bracelet?
It wasn't there. Mm-hmm, exactly. And then, well, all of a sudden, it shows up again. So those are the fairies. Those are absolute keys. Keys are another thing, because they can be kind of sparkly, the metallic, the sparkle, the sounds that they make. But yes, they're very mischievous in that way. So what else do they like?
Well, let's talk about fairy houses real quick.
Yes. Well, I was kind of going to go that way because I was going to tell you what kind of gardens they like. And to build fairy houses for them is just such a wonderful, wonderful, fun activity for children, also for grown-ups, and the fairies love it. So in the garden, let me just tell you really quickly, I guess. They love gardens that are not really manicured, you know, the ones that are absolutely cleanly landscaped and cut. And they like the wild growing kinds of gardens, or where they're lush, where there are lots of flowers, lots of plants. They love when there are colors. There are a lot of colors. So putting birdhouses out, and that's another thing, decorate the birdhouses, paint them, put stickers and sparklies and all of those. They have all those wonderful 3D kinds of gems and just decorations of all kinds. We have, oh, I can't even tell you how many birdhouses out here, and every single one has a family in them, and all of our trees have multiple families in them. And the fairies just keep saying, bring more, bring more. If you have trees or plants that have branches, you can put little chimes out. To put chimes outside in your patio or garden area, they absolutely love that. Now, building them a house, you can do this a lot of different ways. What's most important is to know that you can't do it in any kind of wrong way. If you have a heart that wants to build a fairy house, they will love it, they will appreciate it, and you'll feel their presence. I would say to actually connect with them, talk to them, even when you're not hearing back yet, keep talking. They're responding to you. You're just not hearing it yet. So keep talking. Ask them to go with you to find different kinds of items in nature that you could use to build your fairy house. So, for example, you could use, and you can use an old birdhouse to start, something like that. You could use an old small flower pot, something like that. Or you can build one from twigs, branches. Build it kind of like a log cabin where you do two pieces and then two pieces alternating on top and then two pieces on top of that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How log cabins are built? Yeah, you can do that. You can actually use spaces in nature that are already there, like a hollow in a tree, or if there's a big rock somewhere that is kind of an outcropping and you could dig out underneath and make a little space in there. You can do all kinds of things by what you find in the area where you want to build. So let me think of some other types of items you want to gather. Things like leaves, moss, bark, pieces of bark, feathers, seaweed, shells. Remember, the fairies love the water as well. So you can build different, there are all kinds of different houses. The only thing that limits you is your imagination. I would say to draw it first and put down on paper your idea, you know, especially if you are building one with a little one. Mm-hmm. I would say let them be the leader. You are their assistant because they are going to know what they're doing.
I think that's the perfect way to say
it. Absolutely.
Let the kids just use their imagination.
Let them lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh,
and then you
Janet,
help construct it.
I know. We'll be the helpers, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh, well, believe it or not, our time is coming to a close, but I just wanted to thank you again for sharing all that magic with us this morning. And,
you're so welcome.
Bringing smiles and joy to us. It was perfect. You are the perfect ambassador for the fairies.
Thank you. Oh, and Jackie, I wanted to tell you too, and your listeners, I have a website, a fairy website, that is not actually fully created, but my plan has, it's funny, when I got your, you know, you asking me to do this, I had just been thinking about it and talking with the girl who helps me with all of that kind of technology thing. And it's fairy-magic.com, just for people to know for the future.
Wonderful.
And it's spelled fairie-magic.com. So to keep your eyes open, or you know, if you're on my email list, then you'll find out about it that way too. So
right.
At Awakening the Magic.
Right. You're at awakeningthemagic.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. And
you're so welcome.
Maybe you'll come back another time.
I would love to. The fairies are all saying they would love to too. The birds are all chirping. That's so cute.
All right. Thanks, Janet. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye, Jackie.
Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And I wanted to give you a heads up. I have another class coming, Opening Your Intuition, Turn on Your Innate Psychic Abilities. It's going to be Saturday, July 19th from 9 a.m. in the morning to 1 p.m. at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover, Pennsylvania. The cost is $65 for this half-day intensive class, and you can call my office to register or ask questions. The number is 717-968-5289. Again, that's 717-968-5289. So wonderful. So this is the first step in psychic development, and it's really a fun class. Also, I want to let you know, next week, my guest will be Iris of Readings by Iris, and we will be talking about crystals, your birthstones, and healing crystals and stones. So Iris is an expert on crystals and healing stones of all kinds. She does psychic, tarot, and oracle readings, Reiki sessions, and she teaches classes in tarot. So tune in next Tuesday, and we'll be talking to Iris from the Crystal Wand Metaphysical Shop in Gettysburg. See you then.